Can I address a little bit again about the Hegelian dialectic and the 9/11 movement, how there's speculation in the area of the bringing down of the towers?
Okay, so let me say, before you do that, let me say this is WHCL 88.7 FM, WHCL.org, and thank you for streaming today and listening. And please call in, and, well, you know, what's the number, Pete?
Well, the number here is area code 315-859-4200.
It's your show, and I'm stepping on your station IDs. I just was itching for one. Sorry.
Oh, you go for
I
it.
My own. I guess I'm just dying. I'm not going to do my own show this week, so I had to be a piggy about this.
I always like to give the number twice in case people aren't ready the first time I say it. If you're driving,
I think people are still in shock.
If you're driving and you're trying to write something down at the same time, again, the number is 859-4200.
Yes, 859-4200, and you know, if you bring a cream pie, you know, if you try to throw it, we got glass here, so it'll just make a mess. Okay, now the Hegelian dialectic in the 9/11 Truth Movement.
Okay, so now the Truth Movement,
The only movement I like is the one I have after breakfast.
Either of those words, I mean, we call ourselves 9/11 Truth, but.
Well, I guess
that was the thing to say at the time. But
well, I know now we're going to change it to
we're
going to call it the YouTube or MySpace, one of those better names.
But so the 9/11, the so-called 9/11 Truth Movement agrees that the WTC buildings were brought down by explosives. They agree, but now it's the speculation where we believe. Is where now they're leading you astray. So we've got two sides to why what brought down. So now we got to speculate now, of course, on what brought down the towers. And we do that a little bit, but I think based on the evidence. So we have Stephen Jones from Brigham Young University comes out and writes a paper, why indeed did the World Trade Center buildings completely collapse. I believe that was the name of his paper. So he made some waves. He's on Tucker Carlson. And he's got his thermite hypothesis. But the thermite hypothesis would not account for the molecular dissociation. It wouldn't account for the pyroclastic flow. It wouldn't account for molten metal weeks later. It wouldn't account for the fires for 99 days. So it seems to be he's deliberately undershooting what actually happened. That's more of a conventional explanation where all that evidence I just mentioned is more unconventional. So it doesn't really go far enough in explaining the evidence. Now, there might have been some thermite and some cutter charges used, but there's just too much energy released to just be accounted for by the thermite, you know, his thermite hypothesis.
Could you explain again the pyroclastics? Flow.
If you look at like dust clouds from controlled demolitions, they're diffuse, they're wispy. These a pyroclastic flow is like cauliflower shape with solid boundaries, much more energetic. If you see like in nuclear explosions and volcanoes, if you see those really solid boundaries and the cauliflower shape and how they just move across,
right?
They move across water, and that was the the towers, and I think even WTC-7 had more of that rather than in a controlled demolition. And it went on for about 30 seconds, but it had more. They were definitely more. They were cauliflower shaped, and again, and they were solid boundaries. And whereas a controlled demolition, they might be for a second, but then they're diffuse. So what that indicates is a great deal of heat for that expansion. It took me a while to really get that. Myself, before I was even comfortable with the pyroclastic flow.
Yeah, they look like big fluffy clouds in a way. They're
right.
But you can tell just by looking at them that they're more dense than that.
Right, and you can tell. I mean, if you see that as opposed to just dry, you know, it's just opposed to more of the conventional controlled demolitions, you can see that you can understand that they're more energetic. So that's. It's a pyroclastic flow. So none of this could be explained by conventional explosives.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got that. And I kind of was sort of buying into Stephen Jones. I was like, I wasn't sure at first. And something about, you know, I was trying to say, okay, Andy and I, when we get into the directed energy weapons, which is like from satellites, and that was first Jim Fetzer came out with that on a show with Judy Wood.
Gotta love Judy Wood.
So, and the show, it sounds like Star Wars. I mean, it has the connotation. Oh, but it was these energy beams from basically from satellites. You know, and now they call it Star Wars theory from outer space. So it fits into the crazy conspiracy theorist.
Yes, and you begin to imagine the tin foil on her head, and indeed, that
comes across that way. Also.
Well, Judy Wood is an interesting person, in that I believe that she spent several years in coma. And then was, after some sort of a thing happened, there were an accident or something, and then she went back to teaching, and she sounds a little confused, but not confused, but she sounds, I don't want to be unkind, I really don't. No, most people know me will say you're really sarcastic, but I don't want to be unkind to her, but she sounds like somebody who's needs. It maybe needs to lie down and take a rest or something, but. But what she was saying was it really goes way over in the other direction, and it's
unprovable.
Yeah,
And they also seem to deny the molten metal exists. All the eyewitness accounts of molten metal, of course, and that would be supported by all the other evidence. Of excess heat and fires that lasted 99 days. So they tend to go the other way with this. And it's, according to our guy, Dave 911 Blimp, it's much easier to unleash energy than it is to direct it. So this seems like a purposely over-the-top hypothesis.
Mm-hmm.
So Andy and I, Andy was like right on this right from the get-go, and he taped it, and we were probably we're the first people in the alternative media to actually even address this. And we got, that was a show, a guy, Michael Langston, this is one of the best 9/11 shows he'd heard, and we were probably the first people to address that. And on that show, I said, Stephen, Stephen Jones, it's making, again, it's got this Hegelian dialectic. You've got one, these mavericks, these over-the-top, kind of crazy acting Jim Fetzer and Judy Wood. And the other, with this Star Wars theory. On the other hand, you've got Stephen Jones, a sensible, cautious scientist with this thermite hypothesis. So at first, that was on the show, I had even said that. But I mean, within a week later, I'm thinking, boy, another guy in that camp, Morgan Reynolds, they had been on Fetzer's show attacking Stephen Jones, and they were setting up this whole thing, and I was like, they're going over the top with and their attacks of Stephen Jones, and I go, boy, it seems like they're almost pushing you right into Stephen Jones, and again, then I realized, wait a second, this is the Hegelian dialectic. It's like the bad guy and the good guy. And so if Wood and Fetzer are nuts, well then Stephen Jones has got to be right. And then I thought, I said, this doesn't seem right. And about a couple weeks later, I got a call from this guy who's been on Visigoth's show, Dave. His site is 9/11 Blimp and 9/11 University. And he had written me first, and they called me and said, well, you seem to think Jones is legit. Well, I don't agree, but that's all right. So. Now, what Dave says, and he's got probably one of the, when I really understood the gravitational energy, the gravity is not strong enough to completely destroy a building and come anywhere near close to free fall speed, was his site. He had an article, Free Fall Physics in 9/11, and he explained how gravity actually works. So I had known who he was, but he, on his 9/11 University, he presented all the evidence that I talked about, the molecular dissociation, pyroclastic flow, molten metal fires for 99 days. And he goes, I don't like to speculate, but we're looking more in the area of some type of possibly nuclear device. So that's one that's in between there. And mm-hmm. I think he's, again, all the evidence he presents, and that's all, that's scientifically documented evidence, observations, fact. I think that makes the most sense. And when you do, and if you do a little research into Stephen Jones was one of the, if I mentioned to you the coal fusion movement, which it was coal fusion was, you know, first they made a little bit thing of it. They set it up and they knocked it down and it was a hoax. Stephen Jones was a coal fusion expert, supposedly. He had come out with a different type of coal fusion at the time. He was on the review board of the Pons and Fleischmann who originally came out with, they were also in Utah, who originally came out with the coal fusion, and their observations on coal fusion, their experiments. Stephen Jones was on the board to review it. Then he comes out with his own, what we now know, and what I'm sure he knew then, is a different type of coal fusion. And he said, no, it doesn't generate all this excess energy. And it's not a violation of conservation of energy. It was a reaction that can generate this. And he said, no, this is a beautiful flower. It needs to be, you know, it's nice science and it's nice, but no, it doesn't. He said, read my lips of all things.
Yes,
it doesn't generate that energy. So what he did is he set up, in scientific terms, he set up a straw man coal fusion. He set up a straw man argument that he knocked down. And people just assumed that was the same type of coal fusion that Pons and Fleischmann were working on. So Jones has a history of this sort of thing. And,
yes.
And he
also came up with a hybrid car using 9-volt batteries and a hamster in a cage.
So Jones was on Webster.
That didn't last either.
Jones was on Webster Tarpley's show one time, and right at the tail end of the show, they asked him, "What you know?" Tarpley said, "What about the possibility of nukes?" He said, "No, there's no radioactive waste, so therefore there were no nukes." But what he's doing is, again, he's denying that you can. I'm not quite adept with this the science yet, but you have like the hydrogen bomb was triggered by the atom bomb, which is fission, and that is dirty. Fusion, if you can have a fusion event without a fission trigger, that's clean, and that's basically what coal fusion was. So it's like he's denying this again.
Yeah.
So if you really can have a fission, you can have fusion without fission, you have clean energy, and that could have explained what occurred at the towers. And Stephen Jones is going by probably this 1950s. What they don't want you to know is that you can have fusion without fission.
By the way, I still use my tube radio at home. It works very well. But, no, it's true. You know, what they're saying is also that what Dave is saying is that you could trigger a mini nuke using another source of energy, like a laser, a very high-energy laser. That's where your beams come in.
Right. So
if you trigger a nuke, you can trigger it with something other than an atom bomb. That's why nukes are so huge, because they've got an atom bomb in them to blow the nuke, and that's what causes the fusion aspect of it. So yeah.
We've got Stephen Jones, again, doing sort of like the same thing he did with coal fusion.
Mm-hmm.
It's denying that fusion can exist at lower temperatures, and we're not sure because, you know, this is for what I don't completely understand it, but I get apparently if you have fusion without fission, you have unlimited energy, and that's of course something that
yes, and of course that didn't occur at 9/11, did it? And yeah. Ground Zero, yeah, that was the planes hit that and the jet fuel and all that stuff. No, a nuke really kind of seems feasible there. It seems plausible. And that's kind of where we are now, I think. That it was a hydrogen bomb. A very small one, and one that was detonated through some other means other than the old fashioned 1950s method. Because, you know, everything in the 1950s was so, you had those computers that filled up six rooms that don't work like an Apple Mac today. So
yeah.
you never know. Things are, it's technology, baby. That's all it is.
I mean, the evidence seems to be leading in that direction. And also, I'm really, you know, we're really talking about the Hegelian dialectic, and we're looking how the 9/11 movement's got you herded into two camps, thermite and directed energy weapons, where they're just completely ignoring this nuclear type of event, you know, or the evidence for, you know, a nuclear hypothesis at least, or they're ruling it out based on what we knew in the 50s.
So it seems like what you're saying is that the truth is located
between,
within
right.
the shadows of these other two options.
Yes.
The truth is in between. And
they're trying to distract us from any truth. Because, well, I know Tarpley did have somebody in his show saying, oh, that couldn't have happened, blah, blah, blah. And there was a lot of that. And that's why I think a lot of these guys in the so-called truth, so-called movement, were so-called 9/11, were very compromised with their own agendas. They come from different places, and some of them, when you look into their backgrounds, you find stuff that, oh, maybe they're not. Maybe they've got a reason for being there to direct the discussion. The only thing we're trying to do is direct the discussion toward possibly finding out what actually happened. And you got to consider all these weirdo theories till you get to the one that actually makes sense. And that's what happens. You have all these. We started out. We really liked these people. We liked all these guys. We thought they were great. And then we realized that, yeah, there's hucksters out there. And there's so many hucksters in this thing. We're not huckstering anything. We don't have a video. We don't have a book. We don't have a movie we're trying to promote. We don't have Alex Jones on our site. We're not selling anything right now. Although I'd like to sell something, but it has nothing to do with this. But maybe on eBay. But it has nothing to do with 9/11 at all. So if you were that's the thing. It has to be grassroots. And when you get these people, these huge behemoth type figures, even the lovable gang down in Oneonta, and they're fine, but I think they're being used. I think they're being used by the people who are in the movement, so-called movement. And I think they're compromised by that fact. I think they might have started out with a good thought, but again, they're not even countenancing any of this stuff that we're talking about here. And they probably don't want to step on anybody's toes. But what we're selling is we're not selling anything. We're just putting it out there, and you can take it. It's like the free ad in the newspaper.
But you don't think that that group is doing it purposely? They've just been misled.
I think they've been on the wrong trail.
Definitely. I tend to be tolerant of them. They're okay people. Yeah.
Unless they come out with something really outrageous, mm-hmm. I think they've been handled. I used to go to the Loose Change Forum a lot. And the Pentagon, like I said, was a pretty controversial thing. And one guy who was supposed to be probably the Pentagon expert was Russ Pickering. He had a site called Pentagon Research, and he's taken it off since. But all of a sudden, Russ Pickering starts, I've watched Loose Change, and here comes the big expert Russ Pickering on the board. And I even private messaged him, that's great to have you on board. You know,
it's an honor, Mr.
Pickering. Yeah, yeah, he's a photographer, he's got all the evidence. And, of course, then you had a big schism with Russ Pickering and the Citizens Investigation Team. And, again, a little funny something about Russ Pickering as he just happened to get on John Gibson's radio show. I don't know if you know, you probably don't know that, Andy, but John Gibson from Fox, Russ Pickering got on his radio show, and he was on for quite a bit. So, again, there's another thing that just kind of makes me wonder about Russ Pickering.
I had no idea. The thing is, I heard that Pickering was slightly compromised, and I think he
started out very reasonable guy though, and because we're not sure what happened, we need to get the films. You know, this is what I'm saying. He was very good, but I just noticed he made a lot of on the Loose Change Forum. He made a lot of the same arguments, and one of the arguments was, why would they do this? Why this? Why that? Well, when you have direct evidence, why questions are basically irrelevant.
Yeah, that's true. When it says, oh, yes, here he is, standing with a smoking gun in his hand. So how'd this happen?
why did they do this? Well,
right.
Why would they take down the towers when, well, first, it almost doesn't even matter why. The evidence, the direct evidence shows they did. Of course, you can get into why, and it was part of a shock and awe campaign.
Right, those are two separate issues.
Exactly. So when you have a circumstantial case, I think the why becomes more important. When you have direct physical evidence, the why is really irrelevant. Mm-hmm. So you don't use why questions to say they wouldn't do that because, you know, on the basis of why would they do that? So yeah. That's the Pickering
the point. Point is, it was done.
It was done. If there was a cop convention and they were filming it and I went and punched a cop in the face, you don't consider it. Now, that's obviously, like, I'm obviously not going to get away with it. That's a stupid thing to do. Do you question why would he do that? That's stupid. So maybe he didn't do it. You know, it's that type of it's just illogical. It's irrelevant.
Especially if it's on video.
Right. Yeah. So, well, you know, well, why? I don't think he did it because it's just, you know, you don't say, I don't think he did it because it was a stupid thing to do. We have it on tape. We have all the eyewitness accounts. So these why questions, and Russ Pickering had done a lot of that on the loose change board, and I was really starting to sour on Russ Pickering. And then he ended up coming out and saying, yes, Flight 77 did hit the Pentagon. And I was, you know, Visigoth got kind of mad at me one time because I was kind of afraid to go to the Pentagon because I think a lot of that, you know, you eliminate the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable must be the truth. And they had seemed to have planted a lot of evidence to, and if that's, you know, but if that's the only possible explanation, then that's what they did. So, I mean, Visigoth was kind of mad at me because I was like, I don't know about the Pentagon yet. I still can't get a handle on it. And he's like, what's... But then when I went to the idea that they had to have planted explosives in the building, I kind of went from there, just like I kind of did with the towers. When I realized they had to have planted explosives, then it kind of makes you question, at least they... Quite possibly they remote controlled something into the towers, because you don't plant explosives and hope, you know, these alleged hijackers can hit the towers.
No, you don't have variables like that. Yeah, we train these guys pretty well. They should be able to do this. Yeah, yeah, come on, yes. Oh, damn, they missed it. Oh, they're going to blow it up anyway. Because, you know, what if the plane just sort of glanced it and just sort of missed it, and it blew up anyway? Well, you know, the plane flying by at that speed, that created such a draft, and it caused the building to generate this energy, and it blew up from the inside. And, you know, just imagine that happened. If you saw that image, if you saw a plane narrowly missing the tower and it blew up anyway, kind of like Building 7, by the way. But that's true. You never know. You never know what you're going to get in this. It's like a box of Cracker Jacks or a bag of chocolates or whatever. You know, a bag of mouse traps, more likely. But it's that's my Forrest Gump analogy. So if indeed this is true, what if it had been that? What if it had been a plane just narrowly missing one of the towers, and the tower blew up on schedule? Now, that would be remarkable, wouldn't it? Just imagine that, if you will. And if that had happened, then they would have told us that it hit the tower, first of all. They would have said, oh, you didn't see that. You saw it hit the tower, didn't you? Yeah. Well, here's the film.
Are any of you familiar with the film footage of the North or South Tower that has the laser beam on it? It's got like a laser pointer dot on it.
I haven't seen that yet.
Okay.
I think that's out there, but I'm not very familiar with it.
The idea of what did or didn't hit the towers is like that's the big, you know, no plane video fakery. That's the big divisive issue again. Now that, again, was planted to herd you into different camps. And that one, I'm kind of, like, agnostic on that one. Because there are some things that look like video fakery to me. There's one picture, I don't know if you've ever seen it, Pete. It's of the tower, and you've got, you know, supposedly a plane coming in, and you've got the fuselage, the body, and then you've got the wings, and you've got the engines, and it appears like in between the body and the engines, where the wings would be coming out, there's the building. It's like it healed itself. It's a really
strange, a miracle.
It's quite a picture, you know. So,
and
but again, you don't
on the premises.
You don't know. Did they fake the fake? The fake, you know. I don't know. So that video fakery. I don't know. They sort of like the no planes thing or what I'm trying to use, you know, my Hegelian training to try to see what's in between. You know, a lot of time we heard on one program with a guy, Jim Hoffman, whose site we have on, we linked to a site as far as the explosives. Again, his we don't completely trust him, but he's got, you know, his 9/11 research is some of the best. That's where I first went. There's some of the best stuff on his site. Well, he was on a program with a guy named Anthony Lawson who had This Is Norange, which we had on our site about Building 7. And they herded it into either it was the alleged flights that hit the towers or it was no planes.
Yep.
So again, we're thinking, okay, it was aircraft other than what we're told. So that's kind of where we lean. That's kind of where we're leaning towards.
Right.
That something hit it, but it wasn't Flight 11. It wasn't Flight 175.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where. And maybe there even was some video fakery because
I will admit.
Even when I saw it, when I first saw it, and I believed the whole story, I said, geez, it's funny how that one plane just melted into the building. It's just, so there might be something to that, and if there is, though, they will go so over the top with it and set up straw man arguments so you will completely throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Well, like anything with Hollywood, sometimes they'll enhance the effect, too. And as you well know, as anybody listening to this broadcast knows, if you're still listening, hi, how are you doing? This is WHCL 88.7 FM in Clinton, New York, and WHCL.org. But as you well know, as anybody listening to this show well knows, everything on television is fake. Everything. Nothing is real on television. Everything is through a distorting lens. It comes through and it's been processed in some way. And whether or not, and I'm not talking about planes hitting the building or not hitting the building, I'm saying that television is, they can do all kinds of things in the studio. And if the explosion wasn't dramatic enough or the impact wasn't dramatic enough, they could enhance it. Why shouldn't they? That's what they did at the Olympics with the CGI fireworks. They do that. So who knows? You might have seen, looking up and say, yeah, that's pretty impressive. But on video, maybe the real hijacking or real, not hijacking, I don't know, God pinch me. But no, the real plane, whoever was, whatever was happening there was hitting the building or whatever was hitting the building hit the building, didn't look good enough. So they dressed it up. They put it on and looked, a little better on the air. So they know, they normally do that. Everything, they all make up everybody, and they all look good, and they had to put a little pancake makeup on the towers, so that's why they pancaked.
Oh, by the way,
so-called.
Andy brings up a good point, Pete, that even that huge fireball that you see when the South Tower struck,
mm-hmm.
there's a site, German engineers help solve 9/11, that they've done calculations. Even that huge fireball you see could not have come from the alleged flight because, it would have had so much kerosene and it couldn't account for that huge volume. So, again, you have, apparently a Hollywood special effects even in that, and it's rarely talked about.
Hmm.
But I know Dave 9/11 Blimp, he's kind of our physics guy. I guess he graduated from Cornell in physics. He had a link to that. So apparently that's pretty legit if you do the calculations that plane, supposedly flight 175, I believe, would have been the plane alleged to hit the towers. That wouldn't have had enough kerosene in it to ignite that huge fireball. So there's another special effect again for the shock and awe.
It's all beautiful. They do that so beautifully.
It's incredible.
Those guys in Hollywood are just amazing. And that's why if you have a real natural disaster, you have to get Hollywood in there to dress it up. Otherwise, or any sort of thing. If you have a bomb, the bombs in Hollywood look so much better than the real one, so you have to get Hollywood in there we need a little more yellow in this explosive. It has to be more orangey in this flame here. The contrast.
These are scientific questions we're bringing up, and your conspiracy theory, that's where your conspiracy theory comes from. And again, we have, our conspiracy theory is that it's obviously, I even hate the term inside job, which is what the 9/11 truth movement uses a lot. So I'm comfortable with false flag terror events, state-sponsored terror, possibly false flag. But I even don't like the term inside job because
jobs because I burn easily.
I don't really like slogans. I like quotes, but I don't like slogans. And
yeah.
So yeah, again, remember most of these are scientific theories based on the facts.
Well, that's true. Slogans, that's the thing. People use these little chants. They say thermite, thermate, or inside job, and they put up these little, their little bumper stickers of thought. And we're trying to get beyond that because when people just say stuff like that, it's just the same as saying support your president or do this or do
freedom's
that.
Freedom's not free.
Freedom's not free. Go and thank a serviceman for your freedom because he kept it free for you. No, he didn't. He was out there getting shot at by some guy who couldn't have possibly killed my freedom. I do respect the guy for doing that, by the way, but I certainly sympathize with any pain he suffered, and I feel bad about that. But I'm not going to say he kept me free because first of all, are we free in this country? I guess, well, they haven't broken down the door yet here, but that's true. You know, I guess we're free enough to say this. Well, we got to thank a serviceman for that, obviously. Thank you, guys and gals.
So, again, if you're out there listening, you want to get in on this conversation, the telephone number is 859-4200. That's 859-4200.
I think people are just, you know, they're just, you know, their jaws are still on the floor here. They just don't know what to make of this. And then, oh, those wacky tinfoil hat wearing Utikins, they're at it again. There they go again, people.
One point I want to make, too, is I believe they actually tell you what this was about. We've got some examples up on our site now, what do we call predictive programming. How 9/11 just... In conspiratorial movies of all things, like The Matrix, also in The Enemy of the State, 9/11 seems to come up. I don't know if you put this one up yet, Andy, but probably the most amazing one was a painting for an album cover by a rap group called The Coup.
I put that up.
Okay.
I put that up this morning, and I did credit it to Jeff of DC 9/11 Truth, who sent it to you, and I gave him due credit, and I appreciate his sending that. But it was, yeah, I said an oldie
Pete's
but a goodie.
Up there. Now here's a couple things about this, Pete. I guess it's true. That was done before 9/11. Mm-hmm. That was actually put up on the internet in July of 2001. Now, if you look, what's really amazing, okay, what that guy with the guy in the front is doing, pointing to, it's like a guitar tuner that's a detonator that mm-hmm. says Covert Labs. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the locations of where the smoke is starting from, those are the exact locations that these towers were apparently struck at.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because you could tell because you've got, I believe on the right, you've got the antenna indicating the North Tower.
I think we offended somebody. Here we go.
Let's see what happens.
Put on your ears, boy.
WHL. Good.
Yeah, I think we'll do this here.
Would you like to be on the air? Okay, hang on one moment.
Here we go. Hello there.
Let's see, do we have a person? Yes, we do. Okay. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Do you have a question or a comment?
Oh, yeah. I just, while listening here, I just wanted to thank Andy and Herb for what they're doing, because they, I think that they get a lot more accomplished than any group could ever do. Just listening to them here in these almost 2 hours here, It's obvious that when you've got groupthink together, you just can't get ideas out to the masses, to the people that really need to hear the information.
Thank you.
Not so much a question as I appreciate what they're doing.
Well, thank goodness for us, they're not team players.
Well, no, I've never been. I've never got on any teams. Believe me, if you were to talk about somebody's on a team, I've never been on a team in my life. So this will be this is the closest I've ever been to being on a team. And I don't know if Herb, were you ever on a team?
No, I don't think I wasn't really much of a team player.
We were never picked. We were never picked on sides. We just disgruntled grade school athletes who decided to form our own team. And we do appreciate you calling. Have you got a question?
I think he just wanted.
Oh, he left. Okay. Well, that's nice. We well appreciate that.
I think he just wanted to compliment you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. I just
there he is.
This whole time here, and they just brought up so much that, you know, I've been to a lot of these groupthink meetings, conferences, and you just can't get these kind of different takes on everything that's going on out there. It's just you get so many people together that they want to herd you in a couple specific camps that there's no real discussion going on. If you bring up anything outside of their mainstream, then you're relegated to the side, and it's just so apparent that it seems like from the get-go that the 9/11 movement is a more of a controlled opposition, just like Dr. Peter Dale Scott with his research on the NATO stay-behind armies and terrorist groups. You don't want to infiltrate a terrorist group If you're an intelligence agency, you want to get in there, start it from the beginning so that you're able to control the whole thing and let out the information that you want to in the fashion that you want to do so.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Because one of the things, you know, we sort of talked about, you hear guys say, oh, this guy went bad or that guy went bad. And it's like, I think he was bad to begin with. You know, that implies he was good at one time. And I think you're right. This has been started. They knew people were going to get this. So they started this right from the get-go. It didn't get infiltrated. It was created.
Yeah, that's true. I think I sense that about the so-called movement. Movements always scare me. Any movement, I don't get on any bandwagons at all. I haven't been on a bandwagon in my whole life because I realize, well, maybe there's one, but I realize once you get on the bandwagon, it's not being driven by you anymore. You're sitting on the edge playing the trombone, and somebody else is driving, and that's not for me. I'd rather walk and play the trombone if I were playing the trombone, that is, or doing anything else for that matter. So you're right. It is created and driven by somebody else. And by creating and this is a point I was actually going to make, by creating the movement, they get to control the whole thing from the beginning. It's brilliant. We would never have thought of that because we're just innocent guys here, just hanging around, and they're doing this stuff like that. You're absolutely right about that.
Caller, have you had the opportunity to see Herb's presentation in person?
I have not because I'm down here in D.C.
Is this Jeff?
I've just listened to them. Talking with Viz about the presentation that they had presented, and a couple people in the audience seemed to attack them from the get-go, bringing up a bunch of straw man arguments. And I remember them saying that it was a good training for them to learn how to get into different aspects of it and learn how to counter people in the audience like that. Either they're just don't get it, or they're specifically there as controlled opposition, just kind of to deflect what's going on and tie people up in the minutia, rather than looking at the science. You know, those are the kind of people who always bring up what happened to the people on the planes, what happened to the people in the towers, and all these other things. When it's not important in the argument because you'll never be able to know what happened to those people. But you can look at the what went on and you can just apply the scientific method to it and see that what actually happened just does not hold water.
Is this Jeff talking?
Is this Jeff?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, nice to talk to you. I've been meaning to call you. We were just mentioning how we put up the predictive programming, the coup, and we credited you with that. If you want to check it out,
I saw that on there, and it's pretty telling when you see images like that people put together right before the actual event. There are definitely people out there that knew what was going to go on beforehand.
Were you able to see the other post that Andy had of the Is There Life Beyond the Boom? The New York Magazine Real Estate 2001.
Oh yeah.
That was scary.
I'm constantly looking for that kind of stuff, and whenever I find it, I try to archive it because I know that eventually stuff like that is just going to disappear.
Hey Jeff, do you want to tell them about the one you sent me today with the Man on a Wire movie coming out?
Oh, the Wire movie.
Yeah, right.
That one, it just seems so so telling. This movie that came out, I was out near the Independent Theater by my house here last night, and I see that it's already playing, that it came out this month. But whatever it is that they're trying to put out about this film, you've got this guy back in 73 or 74 who they did a documentary on because he gained access to the World Trade Center towers, and what is his name?
Philippe Petit.
Or a Frenchman named Philippe Petit, I think.
Right.
But he rigged a wire. Somehow he got into the building at night, took this massive cable to the top of the towers, and rigged it from one side to the other so that he could do this high wire tightrope act and walk across. And I guess he did this for about six and a half hours. And then once he got to the other side, they arrested him. But as it says in the little write-up for the film, it just seems like they're it's a month before the September 11th anniversary events, and they're just trying to remind people. But you look at what they put in there, and a couple quotes in their write-up. It says, you know, planning the execution of the coup, bypass the World Trade Center security, smuggle the heavy steel cable and rigging equipment into the towers, pass the wire between the two rooftops, tension it to withstand the winds and the swing of the buildings, and rigging was done by night in complete secrecy. You know, I just don't know how anybody could do something like that in a building like that without having some sort of help from the inside. So I just think that it's just more predictive programming. They're just trying to get people to look and see how easily something like that could have done, so that later on they can say they have to admit that the towers were brought down by explosives. They can blame it on the dirty brown people, the Arabs overseas, the fake Al Qaeda.
And I don't know if you got my.
It's just a big mainstream piece to get people into it, so that they get programmed to it for when it does happen.
I don't know if you got my email. I don't know if I mentioned in my email to you, but one of the things that I think, if I remember correctly, Stephen Jones in Chicago was saying how anybody can get thermite. It's on the internet. People have got it. You know, high school kids have gotten it. They've done experiments with thermite. So I almost wonder if that's part of it down the road. And I do agree with you. At some point, they basically admitted there was a shot from the grassy knoll. I think they've come out and said something. There was a shot behind Senator Kennedy. I think at some point they're going to have to admit this, and I think they will. And you're right, and they're setting you up for this. Well, apparently the security in the towers was so lax, Philippe Petit got a cable in there one night. And I think you're right. I mean,
I think that they've got, with this one, this is their fallback plan.
Right.
It's easy to do because it's a corporate building. You can pay off a security guard and say that that's how somebody got in there, just like before 9/11. To get in there and rig it, how you could actually say that a couple guys got in there and rigged both towers on that weekend, two weekends prior when they supposedly had the power down for the buildings. But they've got a fallback plan for the World Trade Center. Thing is, they don't have a fallback plan for the Pentagon, and I think that that's why that one is so heavily controlled. And when you're going into what the CIT guys are doing, with the flyover and the eyewitness testimony, you go into any of the discussion sites, the blog sites, and you even mention anything about that, you get attacked immediately by the controlled opposition. They just don't want you to go there. And I have a big problem with groups that don't want to discuss everything, put everything out on the table, go over what's going on and try to flush out these different theories that it's like, oh, we can talk about this one and that one, but that one we don't want to talk about.
And that's probably the one you should look at.
It's just so apparent that there's nothing that they can say about the Pentagon. You can't say it's the most heavily guarded building in the world. You can't say a couple guys snuck in with some explosives or did that, this, the other thing. That has to be done from the inside by people who could gain access, who have security clearances. It's just you don't sneak into a building like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe our next step after this would be for us to record one of Herb's performances and get it on YouTube, because it's really
yes,
incredible to see it all when he has the visuals at his fingertips besides just being audio on the radio.
Yeah, we want to make this a multimedia experience for everyone.
That's a pretty good idea, Pete. We'll have to work on another one. I've got a couple different ideas. I'm getting to. I've got, you know, I think I'm weeding them down. I'm trying to make them as simple as possible. And maybe one would be like the laws of physics versus the official theory or something like that. Or even with just a picture, you can disprove the official theory on the towers. Because, you know, as vague as it is, the official theory is the above the, you know, impact zone or ledge impact zone. It just started plowing right through itself. Which all you have to do, you know, all you have to do is look at a picture where it's now given a haircut, and all you see above it is air and dust. Well, there's no crushing mass. It's pretty much that simple. So, you know, that's an idea I had also. So I'm kicking around a few ideas. I'll have to, you know, the guy, the debunker at our last presentation, that we're almost sure he, a guy had written in Life and Times of Utica, a guy had written a piece about it. And this guy had set up his own website, and who shows up on this website, you know, trying to say something, but a guy who happened to be working Building 7, just like this guy. So I have to send that one to you. It's pretty interesting. I'm debating whether even, I guess he's got his own blog, and I'm debating whether I should even address what he said, or should I, I'm just thinking of just keeping it under wraps, so if he shows up again, I'm completely ready for all his arguments, and why make him come up with new ones?
He's listening to our show tonight. He's out there taking notes, so we're not going to tip off our hand on this one.
But.
Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it, and I think that hopefully you guys woke up a lot of people around that area.
I hope so.
We hope so.
Yes.
Well,
thanks for calling, Jeff, and
right,
I'll be talking
you,
to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, bye.
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 Well, that was very good. Anybody else listening out there?
Yes, well, we're taking all comers today.
If you'd like to call us up, the telephone number here is area code 315-859-4200.
Yes, and it's a very Byzantine phone system, so I don't know if you'll be able to hear everything we say, but you'll hear Pete. And he can relay whatever we say. But, you know, if you leave your radio on, you could get totally confused. But I think it's pretty much instantaneous. So you might be able to hear us and talk on the phone at the same time and create a nice feedback. But if you're local, but I think there's a little delay on the Internet. But it's crazy stuff. But, yeah, I appreciate Jeff calling. He's one of the good guys that we're aware of, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been, like I say, the coup cover that we were talking about was Jeff had actually sent that to me this morning. Although I was aware of it, but because he'd seen that we had done some stuff on predictive programming. Like I say, the point I was making was that those are the exact locations. You can see you've got the antenna on the right indicating the north tower, so the other one's the south tower. And again, you can see it's coming from the corner and lower than the north tower, just like what actually happened. So that tells you that this was. And now, if you want to believe that it's a coincidence, you can. But that's way beyond any coincidence. So there are networks out there that somehow through their network somehow they put this stuff out there.
And yes.
I mean, remember, Julia Child was a spy. They admit that one. I mean, they didn't let Hollywood get away, that's for sure.
Well, I don't know if I want to want to eat it at her house. Here's some French. here's a pâté with a little something extra in it just to keep you quiet. But that was, and that time she stabbed herself, I think that was actually, that was a conspiracy. But, yeah, and of course we have other things that I thought were interesting. Somebody else posted something about it was a comic book from X-Men. There was something about the towers being in flames, and what really started this whole round of stuff was my wife was going through cleaning out the upstairs office, and we found a lot of stuff. It was going through the strata of stuff, which we have a lot of strata, by the way. And she found a magazine from March 01, which was essentially just it was a cover about the Is There Life Beyond the Boom, and it shows this person in abject horror covering her face, and then it shows the towers. And Real Estate 2001. That was a big real estate story that year, that's for sure. But and then when I looked in the back, because I like to do the old, you know, those crossword puzzles that were in those older magazines, and the Guardian crossword, I was looking at all the clues, and the word 11, the number 11 turned up in just about every clue, and I thought, well, that's pretty interesting. I mean, probably that might have been a coincidence, but it was just too, you wanted to think about that. But that was in March 12th, 01, New York Magazine. Now that might well have been a coincidence, but it works on so many different levels that I thought it was worthy of presenting on our site. Also, we found out that the movie The Matrix, which came out in 1999. Neo, the character played by Keanu Reeves, had a passport which expired on guess what date? One guess, just one guess only, and you won our prize, which isn't much. You basically get to talk to us, but no, you know which date it was. It was because I've got it up there. September 11th, 01 is when his passport expired, and a lot of other passports expired that day too, I guess. But that was That's just odd stuff. But why is everything pointing to that one thing? Is it?
And it's funny how it's in a conspiratorial type movie. And then if you add also Enemy of the State, I was watching. I had never seen it before, and it was on TV, and I was watching a little bit of it. And they're talking about taking away your freedoms. Who's watching the watchers? All about surveillance by the government. And I didn't finish the whole movie, and I borrowed it from someone. Now, I didn't realize the movie was done in like 1999 or 98. For starters, I said, "Well, that's kind of weird because it sure sounds like a post 9/11 movie." And then the protagonist, who was chasing Gene Hackman and Will Smith, turns out what day was he born? 9/11. So it's just funny how it...
It's a very popular... And 9 months before that, people must have been having a real party, huh?
And these, these very conspiratorial-type movies, it's funny how it's in those movies that the 9/11 keeps popping up.
What was going on January 11th with this stuff, it was December 11th, or however that works out. Just figure that out mathematically. It must have been some festival or some bacchanalian orgy where all these people are getting pregnant and winding up with babies born on 9/11. It's just astonishing to me. I don't know how that happened, but makes you think, doesn't it?
If we really have networks just throwing this type of stuff in. These are the Enemy of the State. This is predating the Bush administration. So this blame it all on Bush is a convenient straw man argument. And worst comes to worst, if it ever really came out, Bush would be he'd be thrown under the bus, and you never get to the real power behind the throne.
Well, Bush could be a straw man. He reminds me of the straw man in The Wizard of Oz, actually, who sings "If I Only Had a Brain." But other than that, he's definitely the straw man argument there. So that's So what else? What else are you thinking, Pete? This is WHCL 88.7 FM, by the way, in case you're wondering what you're listening to and how we can get away with this treachery against the Republic, and WHCL.org, and. I'm taking your job.
Would you speak a little bit about Silverstein and the trade centers and his settlement?
You know that you're probably up on more. I know he made billions of dollars.
Yes, and he was trying to sue for both buildings because it was two different events, right?
Yeah, he was trying to double collect. He had, I think, 12. So now I'm going to take over the answer to my own question.
Okay. Yes, please do, because I'm tired of talking.
He had about 12 different insurance agencies insuring the buildings for him, and he wanted to collect for two attacks, and he wasn't properly insured at the time, and so he was getting he had only gotten the lease the buildings in June or July of that year, and so by the time the attacks had taken place, the paperwork wasn't completed for the insurance. So there was a dispute between the insurance companies and him over settling and whether or not they had to pay, and it was held over when Pataki was governor, and then when Spitzer came in to be governor, then they made a settlement, and he collected twice the amount of what the or one and a half times what the buildings were insured for.
Well, so he got half of one building, so he didn't make out very well, did he? Only a couple of how many billions of dollars did he get for this deal? Just no, that would you know, that would be no motive at all, and you just never consider that. But yeah, that's one of the aspects of it. The thing about it, you can't say one thing only was the reason for this happening, because there are so many different possible reasons for this happening. That the fact is, if this didn't happen the way we think it happened, which is to say, not Arab hijackers who hate our freedom, led by a maniacal, charismatic ruler in a cave in Afghanistan, but was done by cynical New World forces and sources. You know, there's so many different ways that this, the things that people could have gained from this.
Right, you have to make people benefit from this and not be hurt by this to keep their mouth shut.
And what was you know, the guy on the dialysis there in the cave, what was he going to benefit from it? How was he going to, you know, just know Allah would have been liking him better or something? He would have been happier. You know, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe giving him his jollies. I don't think that was it at all. I think that was you know, just the people, religious fanatics will do anything. Well, maybe they will, maybe they won't. I don't think they will. You know, the last religious fanatic who would do anything was Abraham, who took Isaac up on the mountain, was going to cut his throat because God told him to, and then he said, "Oh, God said no, never mind. I was just kidding." As you know, that wacky God always asking people to do things like that, and I just wanted to see if you believed in me. That's all. But I don't think that was it at all. I think it was people driven by the dancing sugar plums in their heads, and their sugar plums were dollar signs, and perhaps even the lure of raw power over the populace and creating a consensus that would let all this stuff go through like a knife, as they say, through butter. So a hot knife would have to be, or a soldering iron. So whatever went through in butter, it went through pretty damn fast. I'm getting hungry, by the way.
Same here. Says the claims dispute was $7.1 billion at stake.
Stay. Don't say steak. now we're really getting hungry.
On a lesser level, you set up the Department of Homeland Security, and you set up. We have to fight terrorism, so we have businesses coming up, you know, you have the anthrax attacks, so you have to have a business with a BDS unit. You have to have this, we have to have scanning, we have to have this. So businesses get involved in the war on terror. So obviously they're benefiting from it, and the idea of a corporation or business is to increase their profits. So they're not going to bite the hand that feeds them, and that's partly how you get this involved, how you get people to not even question things.
Well,
they had any questions.
You owe it to the stockholders.
Now it's
your stockholders demand a 9/11. Be sure it'll make you. You know, that's going to just help you so much. You know, just think of the bottom line. You know, these people. You know, they're just a few people. We kill people. Look at the Ford Pinto. They didn't fix that thing. It cost them $5 per car to fix it. They didn't fix it. They sold a lot of the things. People died in them, in those clown cars they were selling back in the 70s. And yeah, so you know, if a corporation will do that, or any power will do that, and don't say that the government wouldn't kill people. Look at the Tuskegee the experiment. Look at all these other things that happened. Look at Katrina. I think the Katrina, by the way, and I just happened to read John Zogby's book just because I wanted to, and I read it, and he said that Katrina would actually be considered a more earth-shattering and event than 9/11, and it was a worse disaster. I felt a lot worse about Katrina because they basically let people die. It was almost a genocidal experiment. They got all the poor people. They let them rot in that stadium. They had them in the convention center. Now that's talk about conspiracies or whatever. And yeah, they could take that land, drain it, and put up casinos and amusement parks, and you know, old-time New Orleans land where people can go around, walk around, pretend to, you know, eat cotton candy and stuff. Don't even say the government doesn't, because the government is an apparatus. It doesn't have a conscience, and people have consciences. You and I have a conscience. But what's out there does when you have a bureaucracy and nobody's taking has any accountability, and you have a government and nobody has any real accountability because they all shifted off to somebody else, then it doesn't matter what happens. Yeah, you kill a few people, but we're not going to be pulling the trigger. We got Charlie here to pull the trigger, or we got this other gal here who's going to, you know, take the people off the plane, or they're going to do this to the people, or whatever. And no, it isn't that. You know, there are a lot of everybody shifts the blame. It's just what happened during World War II and a lot of other bad incidents in human history, where people were able to justify absolutely horrible things by saying it was for the common good or for the good of this particular group, and it just led to absolute misery and dreadful results.
A good read and resource to see where things like this have happened historically is the book War is a Racket by Smedley Butler.
Oh, yeah.
And he lays it out for you.
I think that's available. I think the whole book is online. You can read it online.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It has to be. And if it isn't, somebody should put it online.
We'll do that.
No, I think it is online. And it's all over the place, too.
Put a link to it.
But not only is war a racket, FEMA is a racket. All the guys sitting at their desks, and they know, and the stock market is a racket. Everything's a racket. I'm making a racket right now, but it's only with my mouth. But it's true. Everything out there is, you know, it's compromised, and you have to look at things. And as I say, what happened to Katrina shows that we don't particularly care about people. People don't mean anything to us. We just let them die. What do we care? You know, get their land and build something nice on it. That's what we'll do.
Well, it's 12:08, and I'm getting hungry. So
I think we're all getting hungry. Yeah. You're talking about steak and mice through butter, and we're talking about pancakes. And I think we're gonna have lunch pretty soon. But yeah.
Well, I just want to put a message out. If you're out there listening, you haven't got the chance to speak with us yet, or you'd like to make a comment, a question, a comment, a criticism, we'll take anything.
Yes, but keep it clean.
Keep it clean, please.
Keep it clean and don't be too nasty, because you know we'll treat you nice.
And the phone number here is 315-859-4200.
Yes, this is your last call. We're going to be on another few minutes, and then we're going to, you know, going to tear apart something to, you know, ravenously go into it.
Or if someone wants to make us lunch, and we can stop
so somebody's
over
got,
after.
I wouldn't. No, I'm not going to ask anybody to make us lunch. You know what they're going to serve us. We're going to put ground glass in it or something.
So I found the article here on the insurance. Insurers agree to pay billions. New York Times, May 24th, 2007. The Spitzer administration announced the settlement of all insurance claims at Ground Zero yesterday, ensuring that $4.55 billion will be available for the rebuilding of World Trade Center site. The agreement, which the insurers described as the largest single insurance settlement ever undertaken by the industry, ended as a protracted legal battle with the insurers over payouts related to the terrorist attack. New York State Port Authority officials said yesterday that the deal removed any uncertainty over how much money would be available for rebuilding and would enable them to obtain private financing for the $9 billion project. Officials have worried that the insurance dispute might drag on for years, eating up millions of dollars in lawyers' fees and potentially delaying reconstruction. The settlement is a culmination of a two-month campaign by State Insurance Superintendent Eric R. DiNello and involved meetings in Geneva, Paris, and Delaware. The agreement was reached with seven of the two dozen insurers for the...
Delaware? What's in Delaware? There's nothing in Delaware.
The agreement was reached with seven of the two dozen insurers for the Trade Center who had not already settled. Alliance, Global Risks, Travelers Company, Zurich American, Swiss Re, Employers Insurance, Industrial Risk Insurers, and Royal Indemnity. They agreed to pay a total of $2 billion. The other insurers had already made good on their claims and paid about $2.55
billion. Amazing. That's amazing stuff, I have to say. You don't want to say Silverstein didn't obviously do it all by himself, or who knows what role he had in it, but he certainly profited from a national tragedy, and a lot of people did. And that's what happens, people. People profit. People make money. It has nothing to do with ideology. It has nothing to do with Masons and the Illuminati and the Rosicrucians sitting in a little room somewhere and doing funny hand signals. This is about the cash. And it'll always be about that. It'll always be about cash and power and control and who's going to run what and how high we can make you jump. And that's true. If there's no profit to it, why bother with it? There's got to be that aspect to it. It isn't just job satisfaction, that's for sure.
So any topics we didn't hit yet, Herb, that you'd like to take up?
No, I guess the one little point I was going to make is I believe besides the predictive programming, I think they gave you a couple clues right when it happened or shortly thereafter. One, if you remember, they told you the terrorists faded you for your freedoms, and not shortly thereafter they passed the Patriot Act. So I think they're, you know, and took away your freedoms. So I think that's a little wink and a nod and telling you, like, we are the terrorists. WTC-7, the site was, they've called it Ground Zero, which is what Hiroshima and Nagasaki were. That's a term for nuclear fallout. And one little thing I'm looking at, which is, now this is more of a conspiracy theory.
Okay, now you're going to call in.
Now
they're going to call in. Just wait. This might be a little
controversial here.
It's more than controversial. I'm going to get slapped for this one. Just wait till we get out in the parking lot.
What does Bush come out and say? And I'm not sure exactly when he said it, but I know he said it. He said, "This is a crusade against terrorism," and we know who was behind the first crusades. And I'm leaning heavily towards that the Vatican is involved in this because it's got the signs, the torture and the killing of Muslims. And I say I can't prove this one yet, but I don't think Bush misspoke. I think that was very deliberate what he said, and at the very least, the Vatican seems to have no problem with this. And I'm actually looking at something on my own. I'm looking into the possibility that the Vatican is really nothing more than an extension of the Roman Empire. That it never really went away. It just took a different form. And I know that
that's
a tough
words.
One to prove, and that's pretty controversial.
I'm standing over here in case your chair blows up.
But no. I'm sorry, but I can't get away from that. It sure looks like a crusade to me. And when Bush said this is a crusade against terror, I'm going to really look at that.
No, if this is really a crusade, there really should be more rape because there's not enough of that going. Now, there's a lot of rape in the last crusade, but I guess there's some of that going on, but they don't put that on the news.
Yeah, I said that's a controversial one, but we know who's behind the first crusades, and that's one I've been kind of looking at the Vatican on my own. Something sort of got from Visigoth a little bit, and it's a very, you talk about a secret society, you know, that Skull and Bones can't even compete with the Vatican as far as secrecy. So it's just, that's something I'm kind of, you know, on my own. And Andy's kind of agnostic, so to speak.
So what do you want me to say at your funeral? Because I think you're going to be a dead man in about a week.
I think you anger more people with that than even
my lousy jokes.
But that's something I definitely think they're giving you hints when they tell you Ground Zero and the terrorists hate you for your freedom. They're telling you what really happened, and I just can't get that out of my head when he calls it a crusade against terror. And at the time, people were saying you can't say that. It'd be like saying a Holocaust against terror. But he said it, and I don't think that was for no reason. But that's my own like personal opinion on that one. That's one I'm not wedded to that theory, but that's one I'm definitely looking into and keeping in mind.
Well, the thing is, even though I've been approaching this from a jocular standpoint, I think that any theory out there, anything like this, unless you know you're going to hell if you think it, you might be one of those people. That's fine, but you really, if you want to explore these things, there's a lot of stuff out there to explore, and then you decide for yourself whether or not there's anything to it. And this is another aspect of it. There are a lot of other people, by the way, that they've named, and I'm not even going to get into that. But this is one that if you want, there's all the material. Charles Wilcox has a great book out there. I think was it Phelps or was
Phelps?
Yeah,
Phelps.
Eric John Phelps.
Charles C. Wilcox, Death of the Republic, which is actually that's where I first read about the statement about the crusade against terror was from Charles C. Wilcox.
So if you want to explore that and you say, well, they're just Catholic bashing. Just like people would say to us, oh, you're Bush bashing. Oh, you're government bashing. Oh, you're traitors. Or, you know, they use all these names. And I just think that, first of all, you got to look into this stuff as open-mindedly as possible. And then if this stuff seems, well, you know, I looked at all this stuff and I still want to go to Mass and put in my $20 bill every week, then that's okay. I'm not gonna say a word against you because, you know, whatever you think is right, as long as you feel it sincerely, and you do so out of a mindfulness, that's the main thing. Just consider everything. You have to think for yourself. Although the Bible says you shouldn't think for yourself, so I guess I'm going to hell, and I'll see you down there.
Speaking of considering everything, give them your website.
Oh, yes. Our website is utikinsfor911truth.blogspot.com. The easiest way to find that is to type Utikins with a plural into Google, and I think we come up right at the top, which embarrasses all the other Utikins, by the way. They can't believe we're getting all the publicity.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I think we top everyone there. It's just a wild thing. But you type Utikins into Google, and our site comes up first, which I'm sure the OD really hates. I'm sure they really hate that. The fact is that we come up first, and all those wacky Utikins, there they are, right at the top of the list. But it just works that way, kids. And I, if I could change it, I would, but I'm just going to go with it and say type Utikins into Google. And we can, you know, we'll be happy to answer your emails. And if you feel like you've heard something today that bears, you know, we want to discuss, Herb or I, Herb's going to handle all the Vatican stuff because I'm staying out of it. But any other thing. If you want to tell me I should.
Something I'm looking forward to looking into. I'll put it that way. But.
Well, you know, you could have a good discussion about it. That's all that matters. You know, you can have it and not. I'd still check your brake lines every morning, too. Watch out for that. But never, you know, you got to be careful. But still, whatever you're doing, we respond to politeness and kindness, and we try to offer the same in return. And that's how I feel. And we try to also think for ourselves, whatever that means for our eternal souls. This is what we got to deal with here. And we're just kind of going it alone on the road to truth.
Well, thanks for joining me here in the studio today, guys. And one last question, Herb. Do you have any speculation of when you may make another appearance publicly?
I'm actually like in the process of moving right now, so. Probably within a couple months, I'll be ready, and if maybe we can discuss a couple ideas of where we could give a presentation. That sounds good.
So,
and we're buying plexiglass to put in front of Herb for the Vatican people.
I do like the YouTube. I finally videoing this and put on YouTube. That's a very good idea.
Well, keep an eye out for flyers and posters around town if you're local. Utikins for 9/11 Truth presenting hopefully sometime this October, maybe Halloween.
That would be perfect. Yes, we'll come out. I'll scare all of you.
All right. Well, thanks again, and thank you all for listening.
Thanks, Pete.
Thank you.